You know, we have to learn how to, there's a term called compartmentalize. Many have heard that term, compartmentalize. Sometimes in our lives we can get bogged down with so many things going on that we can be bombarded with everything at one time. And if we don't learn how to shut certain things off, you know, we can get overwhelmed with things. I use that illustration a lot about the dog that's on the hunt. You know, when it's in the kennel, it's preoccupied with the fleas. Okay, but when he's on mission, when he's on the hunt, he forgets all about the fleas because the dog now has a focus. And so likewise, we need to live focused lives, focused on the Lord and on his will for us. Amen. And everything else is secondary to that. Otherwise, the enemy will overwhelm us in our thought life with all kinds of concerns. And he wants to get God's people into worry, into fear, so he can rob us of our joy and our peace in the Lord. And so he tries to overwhelm us with all kinds of stuff. So we have to be disciplined in our thought life. And we have to be very deliberate about taking captive any thoughts that are not in agreement with what God wants. And you know, you've heard a statement before, maybe, that it's a saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? And so sometimes our lives are like that. You know, there's so much to do and so much going on that we have to prioritize our lives and determine, what am I going to make a priority in my life and what am I going to spend myself on? Because what we're spending ourselves on, amen, will determine our future. We're going to bear fruit unto eternal life, or we can be preoccupied spending ourselves on lesser things and allowing the enemy to get in there and rob us of our peace. Amen. Because he wants us to worry. He wants us to be fearful. But there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There is a place that sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. So we have a rest and a refuge in the Lord if we will press in to that rest. Amen. Pressing into the peace of God. We can't be casual about this, but we need to be very deliberate and diligently seek the Lord's presence. Amen. And it's his peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So make up your mind that you're going to make the will of God your priority. Put that above everything else and let that be the focus of your life. And these other things, God said in Matthew 6:33, if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things shall what? Be added unto us. The things that we have need of. And sometimes the things that we're concerned about or worried about or even fearful. Because worry is a form of fear, isn't it? Seek God, in other words. Seek the Lord and his will for your life above everything else. And seek his presence. Get into that rest of God. Amen. And then when we're in the rest of God, we can see clearly. We can make sober judgments about things. Whenever I get into a panic mode, I'm not thinking clearly. I'm not making good decisions. But when I'm in the rest of God and when I relax in his presence and just let go, if you will, in that place, then I'm in a place now to hear the voice of God and to be led of his Spirit. I used the illustration before of trying to run in water. If you've ever been in the lake or in the pool and you've been in deep water, you can't run in water very long. Amen? You're going to burn out. You're going to wear yourself out, and you're really not going to make a lot of progress. Amen? So there is a rhythm, amen, that God has for your life. There's a flow, if you will, of his Spirit. And what we need to do is find out what the Lord is doing and do that. Amen? Listen to what he's saying and do that. Get into that place of the flow of God. You know, the Jewish rabbis understood this even, that there's a thing called the flow of God. Now, Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow, right, flow living water, right? Now, this is, of course, the Spirit of God. So there is a rhythm of God for our lives. There is a frequency that we need to be tuned into. Amen. Where there is perfect peace. You can't see all the words that are being tossed around in the atmosphere. You ever think about how much stuff is being communicated through the airwaves? It's mind-boggling the amount of traffic there is in the atmosphere of just media. We can't see, amen, the radio words, amen, the words that are being, but they're there. So we have to be very careful that we don't tune into the wrong station. That we are very deliberately and diligently seeking the rest of God for our lives. When I'm in rest, when I'm in peace, then I can think soberly and make sober judgments and wise decisions. Because when I'm in rest, I'm now in a place where God will speak to me. Do you understand that God doesn't speak to us when we're panicking? He doesn't speak to us when we're stressed out or fearful or worried. He waits for us to get over ourselves and get over that and stop it. Settle down and just draw near and listen, because God wants to speak to us. And our lives sometimes can be going so fast, things are happening so quickly around us, that we're missing out on the moment with God in the moment that we're in. And God has a rest for His people, and He wants us to press in to that rest so that we're not being shaken. Things happen in my life as well as everybody else. Things happen often with other people. You know, we have our own problems sometimes as well. You know, but I could very easily be overwhelmed if I try to take on everything that's going on and, you know, and be everything for everybody. And we need to understand that people, even loved ones, people you love dearly, are going to make decisions. They're going to make choices that really we don't have any control over. So sometimes we're taking on responsibilities or taking on burdens that God isn't putting on us. Do you know, Jesus didn't worry about Peter when Peter was going to go be shaken. Amen. Instead, Jesus just prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. So I know everyone here has somebody that you're praying for, amen? Someone that you believe in for, but you can't live your life worrying about that person. You have to commit them over to God, amen? And pray that their faith would not fail. And then God said, Peter, through Jesus, He said, when you're converted, then strengthen your brothers. You understand, what God is trying to do is convert people. He's trying to convert us. He's trying to change our minds. It's called repentance. We were going this direction, now we're going the opposite direction. Question today is, first of all, are we willing to listen to God? Can God speak to you? How many really want to hear God's voice? Right? Yeah. And how many know that you actually are hearing God's voice and often not realizing what it is that you're hearing? The question is, can God speak to you? Because God is actually speaking, and sometimes we're hearing. But what I mean by that question is God actually able to talk to you? To communicate to you, to where you are actually receiving what He's saying. Because there's two types of people that sit in church, amen? You got people who are receiving what God has, embracing it, obeying it, applying it, amen? Walking in it, bearing good fruit, their lives are being changed, hallelujah. They're being an instrument now in God's hands that helping others, amen, to come to know Jesus. And then you have another group that's also hearing that word. They may be singing the songs. They may be studying the Bible. They may be able to quote the scriptures. But nothing ever seems to really change in their lives. You've got one that's bearing fruit and growing, and you got another one that's in the same environment, same spirit, amen, sometimes even a witness to the power and the glory of God. One is bearing fruit, and the other doesn't seem to have any fruit. How many know that's the way it was when Jesus was on the earth? Here he is, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Amen. He came and presented the Father's heart to us, and he spoke the words of eternal life to people. The words that he spoke were spirit, and they were life-giving. Amen. And there were many crowds and many people that came and listened intently, even eagerly, to listen to the voice of Jesus. And yet, there was two separate responses. There was some people that grasped a hold of what he was saying, and then there was another group that they heard what he was saying, but in their heart, they didn't agree with it. In other words, they thought they could just pick and choose between what they would accept and what they would reject from Jesus, as if they were their own God. Do you understand? Sometimes that's what we do. We don't like what we hear, or we don't agree with what God wants. And so sometimes we prioritize our will over His. And you know, we have to be very careful when we do hear the truth. And we have to be very careful how we respond to truth. If you're going to listen to truth, amen, and I encourage you to listen to the truth, amen, then we need to be very careful that we are actually receiving that truth and not sorting it out as if we're approaching some kind of banquet or buffet where we just kind of pick and choose what we want to obey and what we want to listen to. Because the gospel also can have a callousing effect. I believe we have people today that are, we could determine to be gospel hardened because they have sat and they have heard message after message after message, but in their hearts they're not in agreement with it, or they only want to sort out and receive some of that and reject the rest. And what happens is their hearts after a while become callous, they become dulled. They become, as Jesus said, dull of hearing. And so no longer do they tremble at the word. No longer do they take God seriously. They can hear a hard word even and not be affected by it because there's been a hardening of the heart because of the resistance towards the truth. See, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they were the experts of the law. They were the teachers. They were the ones telling people about the Messiah. And when the Messiah showed up and started speaking the truth, they were rejecting that truth, many of them. So they had ears, but they weren't hearing. They had eyes, but they were not seeing. So Jesus said we need to be very careful or take heed to what you hear. Matthew 13 and 19, Jesus said, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." This is speaking of people who are actually hearing the word, but in their heart they're rejecting it. Or they're being selective in their hearing. And I, at times in my own life, I've been selective in my hearing. I'm just being honest with you. There's been times when I've heard something that initially I didn't want to hear. I didn't want to accept. But God is gracious and God is merciful and God is long-suffering. And God does patiently wait on us. Amen. And you know, it's not that people who heard the word, you know, when it talks about them not understanding, well, to understand means to stand under. In other words, when they heard the word, they did not place themselves under the authority of that word. So they determined that I'm going to be my own God and I'll determine what is truth and what is not. I will determine what I receive and what I reject when it comes to the word of God. So it's not because they can't understand it, it's because they won't. They won't stand under or understand God's truth. So we can be hearing, and there are people who have an interest to hear the message. People came to listen to Jesus. They were curious. They were interested in what Jesus had to say. But many of the people, their hearts were hardened. And he spoke to them in parables, seeing they would not see, hearing they would not hear. And we could say, well, why would Jesus speak in parables? Why didn't he just speak plainly to them? Because Jesus knew the heart of all people. You see, the disciples are the ones who really had faith in Jesus. They're the ones that really wanted to know. And when they hear the truth, they were ready to receive truth. And so to them, more was given. More understanding, more revelation was given because their hearts were right. Their hearts were open and receptive to receive truth. Are you hearing me today? We have to change our attitude and we have to change our minds about the Word of God. We have to come into agreement with what God says. How many know that God knows what He's talking about? God's Word is always true. Everything He says is true. And His Word is good for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word of God. And it doesn't always feel good. It's not always comfortable. It's not always going to make us feel good, but it's going to produce good fruit in our lives if we're willing to receive even the hard stuff that comes sometimes. A good father will discipline his children, and his good father will be strict with his kids. Amen. He will speak straight to his kids because he cares about them. He cares about their soul. He cares about their well-being. So our Father gives us His truth. He gives us His Word because He knows what's best for His kids. Amen? But if I'm a rebellious son and I decide, well, that my parents don't know what they're talking about, kind of the teenage thing, right? And I'm just going to determine what's right and wrong for my own life. And how many know that the older we get, the smarter our parents get? And the older I get and the more that I learn, the more I realize how little I do know. But I do want to know the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You want to be free? You've got to receive truth. Don't pick and choose what you're going to obey. Submit yourself. Stand under or understand what God is saying. Receive His Word. Obey. Trust and obey the Word of God. And it will work for you. You see, God is speaking, and sometimes we're hearing what He's saying, but we're not really heeding what He's saying. You especially can find this among church kids that have grown up in church, been around it all their life. They can be so indifferent because they've heard it, but they didn't receive it. And then they become hardened to it so that the Word no longer can find penetration into their heart soil. So they remain unchanged. Isn't it interesting that people can be coming to a church that's preaching the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit for years and years and years and not be changed? Is that possible? I'm telling you it is. I've been in situations where there are people that have been 40, 50 years as Christians and they were still on the bottle. They were still on the milk. They really hadn't grown. And we have to be very careful what we do with the Word when we hear it, when we hear truth. Because to whom, you know, much is given, much is required, yes. But at the same time, to those who faithfully receive the word, amen, and those who implement it, those who receive it on good soil and actually obey that word, to them God will give more understanding, more revelation, and you'll have an abundance, amen, and an abundance of fruit in your life because you're receptive to what God is saying. You're not selective to what God is saying, but you're accepting what God says, receiving it on good soil. So Jesus basically was saying, listen, the mysteries of the kingdom are not going to be understood by everyone. But the disciples were the ones who were willing to trust him and obey him. Many of the people didn't even realize their hearts are hardened. Do you know, we can get so used to doing a church thing that we can hear messages and we can just, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know? And I could say something foolish and say, amen, praise the Lord. Because after a while, we're just on autopilot. We're not even really thinking. Our minds may be somewhere else. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When the Word of God, and we start to receive it, and we start to wake up, we start to realize that this is the way, walk in it. This is the life that Jesus has called me to, amen? A disciple or follower of Jesus, one who would submit themselves to the authority of God, one who will place themselves under the authority of His Word, because under the authority of His Word is where there is a refuge, a rest, amen, for my soul. There's protection in the will of God for my life. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's a peace that passes all understanding when I am submitted to the authority of God. Submit yourself unto God. Amen. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So we need to be listening because there are many who hear God's words, but they're not changed. And I've prayed about this, say, Lord, what is going on? I've talked to people and they were so clueless. There was just no receptivity at all to it because their hearts were not opened. The soil of their hearts was never brought or conditioned to receive truth. Now, if you think back in your own life, think back to the beginning of your walk. When you first came to the Lord, God had done a work, amen, of plowing up the soil of your heart and getting you in a position where you are now open, amen, to receive truth. And it was good to you and pleasant to you. And even when it was a hard word, you were still appreciative of it because you knew it was a good word for you, amen. It was going to produce life in you. See, the problem is there are people who hear the Word of God, but the life of Christ is not produced in them because the Word has no entrance because of the hardness or the stubbornness of their hearts. We need to be, as Jesus said, that servant who has his loin girt about him, you know. He's ready to run. When the Master calls, he's ready to respond quickly. We need to be listeners. We can't be hearers only, like James said, right? We need to be doers of the word. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. You'll become deceived. The more that you reject and resist the truth, the more darkness will come upon you and the more deceived you'll become and not even realize that you're deceived. A deceived person is a person who what? Believes a lie as though it were true. But a deceived person does not know they're deceived. Otherwise, they wouldn't be deceived. Come on. But that blindness, that darkness can come on any person who is resistant to the truth of God. Because it's only the truth that will bring light and revelation. Amen. And set you free from the lie and from the darkness. So we've got to be receptive to what God is saying, open to what He's saying. And we have to humble ourselves, place ourselves under the authority of God's Word. The disciples were the ones who received what Jesus had. And they said, Lord, what did you mean by that? He said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Why? Because they were hungry. They were hungry for truth. They wanted to know. They were not calloused or hardened or indifferent. The Pharisees, who thought they knew, who had a lot of education, they had a lot of theology, amen, but their hearts were hardened to the truth, to the reality, the substance, which was Christ. So today, even in the church, you got people that have a lot of theology, amen, but their hearts are hardened to the substance, which is Christ. So they can quote Scripture, they can debate Scripture, but their hearts are far from God. There's no life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. You're going to receive the life of God when you have a heart that is receptive to the life of God, and the life of God is imparted to us through the Word of God. So we need to be in a position before the Father where we're, Father, forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for my stubbornness. Forgive me for not listening and bowing my knee to your word. Forgive me for thinking somehow I'm smarter and that I have a better way than you do for me. I need to repent. I need to not to quit picking and choosing truth and receive whatever God has to say as my truth now. You hear people in the world say, well, that may be true for you, brother, but for me, this is kind of my truth, you know. Well, you know, you've heard it said, but if you jump out of a 10-story building, you're going to go down, amen? Because the truth is, the laws of gravity will make you hit the ground. That doesn't change, amen? You can say, well, my truth is I can fly like a bird. You see, that's foolish, isn't it? But that's just how foolish it is when we think somehow that we got a better idea than God does and that His Word is not relevant anymore today. People are thinking, well, that's old school. That's the way it used to be. We've got a new revelation today. Hallelujah. How many know that this book right here was written by the inspiration of God? Amen. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote this. Hallelujah. So these words, amen, are the words of God. Hallelujah. And we want to have an open heart, a receptive heart to truth, because when the truth comes in, it brings light. And where there's light, the darkness can no longer stay. But if we're picking and choosing what we're going to receive, we're giving the enemy permission to continue to work in our lives, because he can only work in the darkness. He can only work where there's a lack of revelation. I didn't say theology, but a lack of revelation. Amen. Because the theology, the actual word, the written word, is to reveal to us the living word, Jesus Christ. And when we come to know the living word, amen, we're set free. You'll hear a voice. You'll know the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know them. So you've got one group that grows in grace. They grow in their knowledge of Jesus. Their lives are being changed from glory to glory. And then there's this other group that there never seems to be any real change. They're still doing all the Christian stuff. You know, they can sing in the worship team. They can, you know, they can usher. They can teach Sunday school. I mean, you know, there's unsaved people teaching Sunday school sometimes. Amen. There's unsaved people in the pulpits. They just went and got a bunch of theology. Amen. And now they're going to be a minister for Christ. You can't minister about somebody you don't know. And you can't know him unless you're open to him and receptive to him. Let your heart be prepared. That's what John was saying. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. A highway for our God. He's saying, amen, you need to open the way in your life so that God can come in. Amen. It's not about us getting to God. God is trying to get to us. And he says, you've got to humble your heart. You've got to place yourself under the authority of God's word. Amen. And you've got to be a receptor of that truth. You need to open the door, as it says in Revelation 3:20. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So let me just give you this, guys. You hear the word. You hear something that's true. Be very careful what you do with it. Don't pick and choose what part of God's word you're going to obey. Because in the areas where we are stubborn, in the areas where we reject truth, you have given your enemy, the enemy of your soul, permission to work. The enemy can only operate in darkness, where there's a lack of truth, a lack of revelation. That's the area where he can camp out and work. So if God is saying stop, and we don't, we've given the enemy permission now, amen, to continue his work. A lot of reason why many people cannot go forward in their life is because they're tethered to the past. They keep going back to the past, keep looking back, keep looking back. Remember Lot's wife. You've got to sever those chains. And you've got to press on, and amen. And you need to be a receptor of truth. You need to be open to God and yield yourself to the Spirit of the Lord. Obey the voice of God, amen, and you will prosper. Listen to the voice of God and you'll have good success. Listen to the voice of God, amen, and He will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of God and you'll reach your destiny in Him, amen. And you'll have an abundant welcome into the kingdom of God someday, amen. You'll hear the Lord say in that day, well done. Done, my good and faithful servant. You trusted me. You believed my word. You can't say you trust Jesus and not trust his word. If I reject his word, it's as if I'm rejecting Jesus himself. Because you can't separate God from his word. Come on. Is this a feel-good message today? If you love Jesus, you love the truth. Amen? You love it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be changed. I want to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen? So I've got to be in a position before God. I have to position myself to receive from the Lord. Amen? In order to receive the truth, I've got to humble myself. I've got to place myself under the authority of God's word, amen? And with the word comes everything that pertains to life and godliness. Through that word, the impartation of truth and truth in the inner parts, amen? God wants to produce in us his life through the truth. So you're on the internet, you're doing some research, and all of a sudden this thing pops up. It's an opportunity, amen? The enemy is offering you to take your gaze off what you should be looking at onto something that you shouldn't be looking on. And then there's the battle of truth. Who am I going to bow to? Who am I going to obey? And I'm going to bow down to my lower fleshly nature and indulge myself in something that God, I know God says is wrong. I shouldn't be looking at pornography, guys. Amen. Ladies sometimes too. Or am I going to say, no, I'm submitting myself to the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to place myself under the hand of God and I'm going to call upon him and ask him for grace, amen, and strength. And if you need to give your computer a water baptism, do so. If it's causing you to stumble, cut it out. Get rid of it, amen. Don't allow anything in your life that would cause you to stumble. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. I'm going to just finish with this one this morning, okay, guys? Luke 8, 18. Jesus said, therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Do you understand what he's saying? You need to receive the truth. Do not turn away. Do not reject. Do not resist the Spirit of the Lord. When he's speaking to you, when he's trying to bring correction in your life, do not resist that correction. Give heed. Pay attention carefully to what God is saying. Submit yourself to what God is saying. Obey what God is saying, and God will be able to entrust to you more revelation. Amen? But to him who does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. And you don't know what? You want to know why? Because it's unproductive. We can be unproductive. We can be listening to the word and yet be unproductive. Unless there's a receptivity of it, a willingness to yield to it, to not reject it, to not pick and choose what we're going to obey, but to say yes. For God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You want to know why a lot of people are having all kinds of problems and they're not getting free, they're not getting set free? Is because they're not living by every word. They're living by the selective word. The word that they select and the one that they choose to agree with. And that's why they can turn on the TV channels, you know, and find somebody that's always telling them just what I want to hear. Oh, I like that minister. He makes me feel good. Selective listening. And you know the devil has his servants. They present themselves as angels of light. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, on the outward, they seem like sheep. But he says inwardly, they're wolves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're not going to tell people the truth because people get upset. Well, people won't like me if I tell them the truth. Well, Johnny, if you want to play in traffic, you go ahead. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. How ridiculous, right? I'm going to pick on Bruce about that story. He's a little red jacket. And he was out playing in traffic, believe it or not. Remember that, Bruce? And my dad, we had this long driveway. He just shot down like an arrow. He grabbed a hold of him, and he wore his hide out the whole way back to the house. Because he hated him? No, because he loved him that much. Yeah. But that's our Father. He loves us that much. He tells us the truth. And the truth sets us free. Hallelujah. And then we get into a place where we're our obedience. We're in obedience ourselves. You know? And then we can see clearly to help others. But if we're resisting truth, if we're picking and choosing what we're going to accept, then we're going to be blind to what's really happening. Are you hearing me, somebody? And people around you that are discerning will know it. They'll see it. And you don't even know it. Because you're blind. You're deceived. That's why James is saying, be a doer of the word. James 1:22, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be careful. Take heed how you hear. Appreciate, love, embrace, receive every word from God. Amen? Amen. It's your life. You know, don't just eat the dessert. Get the full meal, amen? So that you can be healthy. You can be sustained and you can see clearly. Because when you receive the entrance of God's word, and when the word comes in, it brings light. And when there's light, you can see clearly. Amen. Now listen, there's one little thing I wanted to share with you. It's a little saying from a guy named McDonald. It says, light rejected is light denied. Light rejected is light denied. Do you want to receive from God? Do you want more from God? Then start saying yes to God. And everything he says, it's yes. It's always yes. A servant doesn't talk back to a master. Amen. A servant just doesn't decide, well, today I think I'll obey the master. Or I decide today I don't think I'm going to obey the master. No, a servant, a good servant, amen, will always obey the master. You were saying it this morning, Wayne. Some people's lives are all in pieces. But God says we're his masterpieces. And your life will be just pieces unless you have the master in your life. Amen? So we're masterpieces. Did I say that? I don't know if I got it right, but I thought that was pretty good. You know, our life will just be pieces without the master. But God says we're his master, what? Pieces. He's the one that puts it together. Did you enjoy this morning? Are you receiving this? Do you understand that this is serious business when it comes to the Word of God? We don't pick and choose. Amen. We're not our own gods. He's Lord. Amen. If he's Lord, he needs to be Lord over all my life and over my decisions and what I do, because he is for me. He's not against me. God has a good plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life, but you're going to have to receive the truth. Amen. And go his way. And you have to be done with your way before you're ready to walk in his way. Are you ready to be done with your way to walk in his way? Are you ready to receive the truth today? And say, from this point on, God, I make up my mind. I repent. I'm going to submit myself to your word. If your word says it, I'm going to do it. Amen. And as I'm faithful in the little that I receive, God will make me ruler of much. The more that you submit and you receive the word of God, the more that God will entrust to you. Amen. And your life will be full of light and you'll be more effective in your witness for Jesus, because people will look on your life and they'll see a servant of the Lord. Amen. Who is bearing the fruit of the master in this world. They'll see the likeness. Remember that old commercial years ago? I use it a lot, but it's like father, like son. It was a smoking, anti-smoking commercial. Amen. The little boy was doing everything his dad was doing. You know, they go boating together. You know, they went to the store together. They just did things together. And at the end of the commercial, Dad sits down and his boy is right beside him, and Dad pulls out a cigarette. Like father, like son. Well, our father's not like that. Amen. Praise God. He's a perfect father. So we want to be like our Father in heaven. And Jesus said, be perfect or complete like your Father in heaven. How is that happening? Because we are receptive. We are standing under the Word of God, and we do not pick and choose what we will accept and what we will reject. We will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want more of him. I want to be a receptive vessel. Amen. And I want to know the truth, because I want to live free. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I just repent of my ways. Lord, I come to you. And I ask you to change my heart. Lord, make my heart ready to receive the truth of your word. Do what you got to do, Lord, to bring me into position to where I am a receptive vessel. I ask you to apply the oil of the anointing to my stubborn, hard heart and make it pliable again, so that I will yield to your voice and obey you. I want to know you, Lord. So I ask you to reveal yourself to me. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.